Welcome to Epiphany Fellowship's podcast, where our goal is to see people everywhere show off the glory of Christ in every area of life. We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by today's message and will allow the Word of God to dwell in you richly.
Well, today we have a special time. You know, on Father's Day and Mother's Day, I lay down the mic and I give opportunity for others who can wisely invest in our church. So today is no different. So ladies, come to the stage. Led by Dr. Gill, one of our deacons and ministers here, she's going to lead us in a time of a panel for our mothers. We have my wife, we have Ruth, we have Mom Dale, we have Sister Betty, we have Sister Pascal, we have Sister Griffin. How many of you know y'all? We're rich with godly people in this church, particularly godly women. It's going to be amazing. So I'm going to lead this time in prayer, that we would have a beautiful, enriching, and wonderful time. Lord, we thank you for your hand of mercy, and we thank you for your great grace that's beyond comprehension. Probably every person in this room has been impacted by a woman of some type. And so, God, help this day to be no different. Let the words of their mouth and the meditations of their heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, God, our strength and our Redeemer, in whom we trust. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody agree with that said?
Amen.
You may be seated.
Amen. Amen. As you take your seats, welcome to the Mother's Day panel here at Epiphany Second Gathering. I'm Dr. Tiff. I serve with the women's ministry as well as a deacon at the church, and I have the honor and privilege of moderating this panel of esteemed and godly mothers. Let's give a hand to esteemed and godly mothers who are walking this thing out in the best way that they can. And I just again want to say happy Mother's Day to all of you who mother your own children, who mother other people's children, who have been spiritual mothers. We thank God for you, for honoring God and honoring your families in the way that you serve. And as the pastors have said, you know, Mother's Day is a complicated day. And I don't know, I'm going to be honest. There are times where I have not shown up to a church on Mother's Day because of grief, because of pain. And I really think that's the enemy trying to steal the beauty of this day and what we all can learn from mothers and why we should honor and celebrate motherhood. One, because God instituted it. God himself came through a mother. Yes. And so I think it's very important that we remember that motherhood isn't just something for women to do and to play around with, and it's cute and it's a Hallmark thing. That motherhood is, in fact, a way that God himself expresses his character to us all. So I want to submit to all of us that we have a lot to learn from these women. Yeah. We have a lot to learn from mothers and mothers who are striving as best as they can to live out God's mandate. Now, I'm sure none of the mothers on this stage would say that they are perfect. We have a perfect father, so I think that's enough. But what they are women who have submitted their lives to the calling of motherhood. And I just want to remind those of us just how much motherhood as an example is used through the scripture. I'm not going to cover them all, but I love how in Isaiah, where the Lord says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child or lack compassion for the child of her womb? Yeah. Even if those forget, I will never forget." So that should be comfort for those of you who have lost mothers or estranged from mothers. And Isaiah, he also says, "As a mother comforts her son, so I will comfort you and will be comforted in Jerusalem." Again, using that language of motherhood. The Lord, even in Hosea, talks about protecting his people as a mother cub would protect her own, right? So there's so much that we can learn about God by listening to mothers. And so it is an honor to join these wonderful women on stage. And I'm just going to get us started with a question about the people who have influenced you as a mother. Who have been your spiritual influences or just your examples of what motherhood should be, and maybe even a little bit of what they taught you in the process? So we'll just start from, Sister Ruth here.
Hi, everyone. I was blessed to grow up with a stay-at-home mom. So she raised me and my four siblings. But when I left home, I also was blessed with a spiritual mom who poured into my life throughout college and for the last 20 years. She's taught me a lot about what it looks like to parent, to raise her children, to parent adult children. And one of the biggest lessons she taught me was during premarital counseling. She told me to cultivate an atmosphere of grace in my home by modeling confession, repentance, and forgiveness to my children.
So for me, I was blessed to have had a grandmom and mom, still, my mom's still with me. That's who I first learned scripture, learned about the Bible. My grandma was the first one to introduce me to scripture and reading the Bible. Me being Haitian American tried to get me to read scripture in Creole, in French. Sometimes I kind of slacked on that, but she was all about being a prayer warrior for the family. Any chance she would get, she would just pull us aside to teach us about Christ. And so I admire that.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Fran. Good morning. My name is Fran. My story is a little bit different. Okay, so I was born to teenage parents, and the gospel was not a part of that story. My family is the hands down best dysfunctional family in New Jersey. A beautiful mess. But the people in my family, there were five women of varying ages, some old, some young, single moms, all gathering together to help raise the children. The home was full of love. It wasn't scripture quoted, but it was scripture lived, right? So we learned hospitality. We learned how to take care of the needs of the poor, how to open our doors and feed people. Education was so important, and I learned about hard work and sacrifice, and those are things that I treasure. The gospel didn't come through people who shared my image, but we did have a first floor neighbor who worked at the same bar that my grandmother and my aunties worked at, because they were barmaids at night. And the name of the bar was The Devil's Hideaway. Okay? And this neighbor, she was what they called in the 80s a go-go dancer. All right? She was a dancer, y'all. But she got saved. And she gave her life to Jesus and put down her dancing shoes and picked up her cross. And when she was converted, she started to share the gospel with the children in the neighborhood, and I was one of those kids. She took me to VBS, and that was my introduction to the Christian faith. So I want to speak to somebody out there who may have a sordid past. Maybe your family's not cookie cutter, you know, neat Christian buttoned up family, but God is in the midst, and he can use anybody, anywhere to reach people.
Can y'all hear me? I guess y'all can hear me. Okay. Hi, so I had an example of godly mothering through my mother, who is here today, up in the balcony. I'm glad to have her here. I'm glad to have her here. It's even more special because she's able to celebrate Mother's Day with me healthy, because I tend to have ups and downs of health. So I'm grateful to have her here to celebrate me, not in the hospital, but amongst you all. I also received examples of godly mothering through my grandmothers, who both were in the church, and they sang in the church, and so I get some of that from them, and just how they loved on people and loved to just be around other members of the body of Christ. And then I also had spiritual mothers when I moved away from home, and I lived in Texas for a season, and I still call on them to this day.
When I think of the greatest example of godly motherhood, I think of my mom. My mom embodied the words of Christ when he says, "Let the children come to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Since we could talk, she was teaching us songs that taught us about the character of the Lord, songs I remember to this day. So I'm really grateful to her, and I'm grateful to do the same thing for my children who are just learning to speak and can say God and can say Jesus, and hopefully we'll learn more vocabulary to add to that.
Hello. Audrey Hortense Harris. That was my mom. Motherhood approaches, you begin to think about your life with her. And a verse came of scripture came to me, which was, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self, when I think about mom. Because mom didn't just want you to hear, shout about it, you know, just listen to it with no change. She was expecting to see evidence of you applying the word to your life, and she would call you on it. And sometimes, amen, you would have to step back and check your motives as to why you do what you do. Mom loved the word of God. She taught, she took us to Sunday school, Vacation Bible School, Baptist Training Union, Christian Campers. It was another thing I listed. I don't remember, but we were there. Oh, Bible Club movement during the week. Memorization of scripture was very important to her. She passed that memorization on to us and to her grandchildren. She told them to learn God's word too. Amen, grandchildren that are here? Amen. I also thought about my mom. I had two sets of children. And the second set is here. Worshiping the Lord. But mom was 69 years old when she started watching Pastor Vernon. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to take that on. But the stamina of my mother. So that's why Sydney and them, they're not asking me to watch Clay. But what I like about my mom is that she never stopped giving the gospel to folks, mailmen, insurance people, anyone who came into the house. She was always for the underdog, but she would also critique them as to what they're doing with their life. So she didn't want you to waste your life on not accepting the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. So she really made a big impression upon me.
Amen. I think it's so beautiful. This year in SALT, that we just finished, we were talking about story, right? And just the beautiful ways that God writes our story in ways that are unimaginable by blessing us sometimes with godly mothers. Sometimes it comes through other ways. But we also learn that Jesus is the ultimate writer of our stories. And so I just wanted you all to talk about how does the life and character of Jesus encourage and instruct you as mothers. So you have the examples of the earthly embodiment, but what about Christ? What about Christ's character has been really informative to you as a mother?
I just want to refer back to the verse that I just quoted. Matthew 19:14, when he says, "Let the children come to me." I feel like I definitely went overboard when Eliana was little, like trying to, you know, recite the Apostles' Creed. She was just got here 2 seconds ago. But, however, I have seen the fruit of, like, not keeping her from him or not waiting until she is old enough to understand, to teach her the things of the Lord. She can tell me that God is sovereign. She can tell me God is in control. She can tell me what sovereignty means. Like, and this is me like telling her these things, thinking like, I'm talking to myself. And then next week she tells me what I told her, you know? So I have had to like encourage myself, like, Lord, I'm gonna take this to be true. I'm not gonna keep her from coming to you. So
Jesus modeled discipleship. He gathered a group of people and invited them all into his ministry. And I made a group of people and I've now invited them into my ministry. Okay? So in the life of Christ, he was talking and teaching all the time, talking and teaching and demonstrating and then sending, right, for them to repeat what he taught them. And that's my goal with my children, to use a model of discipleship parenting where I invite them into my world, the way I think, the scriptures. When we're cooking, right? Mom's not cooking alone. You're chopping, you're mixing, we're baking together. I want them to receive every single gift of God that I have in me so that when I leave this place, they can continue on that legacy. So I would hope that discipleship can be a part of our mothering and we continue to make sure that the gospel is passed down to the next generation, not just in word, but also in deed.
Anyone else want to jump in on how the life of Jesus encourages you and instructs you as a mother?
Jesus was selfless. He always wanted to do the will of his Father. And as a mother, as I'm a Christian woman, I look to the Lord for his will to be manifest in my life. And I encourage others to do the same, believing that that same power that worked in the Lord Jesus Christ can now work in me. And how do I get that power to work? Well, you got to study who he is. You got to read his word. You got to know who you're praying to. You know, because if you don't know who you're praying to, then you're praying in vain. You have to get to know him, you know? So sitting with him to find out who he was all about and how he maneuvered in this earth, always doing the will of the Father, will help us to understand how much he loves us and how much he gave to sacrifice himself for us so that we could have that relationship with him that he had with his Father. So I'm always blessed to read about him and how he selflessly gave himself so that all of us could get to know him in a deep and in a true way. No apologies needed. I mean, applause. See, that shows you.
When I think of Jesus and how he willingly went to the cross,
yes,
and endured the cross for us, I think about just how in mothering, we have to persevere a lot of things. And for the person who may have dealt with chronic health, like I know for me, I've dealt with 2 transplants, a couple of rounds of chemo, and by God's grace, he's given me the strength to persevere. And he's shown me, and God used my husband and my mom and just other people to remind me that perseverance is an example, that he's given me the ability to live out in front of my children. So even if I can't physically, tangibly do, just in me showing up,
yeah,
to be there for them is a way in which Jesus modeled,
right,
and that he can help me to do the same. And so one verse that the Lord brought to me today was Romans 5, where it says, verse 3, "And not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope.
Yeah.
This hope will not disappoint us, nope, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." So trust in the power of the Holy Spirit that he's given for us to persevere in whatever season of mothering you may be in.
So just one thing I would also add is the fact that how Jesus, he was all about sacrifice. And the scripture says the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life a ransom for many. So he's the ultimate example of what it means to serve, and that's what came to mind.
Amen.
Yeah, and just thinking about it, one of the word that I always think about, a characteristic of God that I always think about with mothers, with good godly mothers, is long-suffering, right? The way that mothers embody that, I think, more than anyone else. And I just know, even just from some of you, knowing you, that, and just knowing life, that there are challenges in life, right? and that your job as a mother continues no matter what season of life you're in. That is a role that you have. And so if you can just think about just the season of life you're in right now, and have there been any specific lessons that God is teaching you in this moment that you're walking through right now?
Yes. One of the things the Lord had to remind me of recently is how much he values the work that I'm doing. I went to graduate school, and I always planned to go into research. I planned to be a stay-at-home mom part-time instead of full-time. But that's not what God had. And I was looking over the last few years of my life, and just the Lord had to remind me that all the work that I do is valuable because he created the work. Work is good, and it doesn't matter whether it's the most menial task or whether it's the most respected task in our society. It's all valuable. He also reminded me that my children are image bearers of Christ and worthy, just as worthy as I am, for service, for love, for care, for all that, because I think it's easy to disregard someone based on some characteristic rather than looking at them and seeing that they are worthy of dignity and respect because they're made in God's image.
Amen.
I've been through so many seasons. I'm going to say pick one. But right now, I'm alone, I'm a widow, and the Lord is just so with you when there's nothing to lean on but him. The conversations we have are so rich, and his abiding presence just kind of falls on you, and you realize that you're not alone. I've been a married person, and then I've been a one with children, and then I was an empty nester, and now I'm an empty home person. But what all those things change, but God never changed. He was always with me. He promised never to leave me and never forsake me. And as I wait for the next season, every day, I woke up from Mother's Day, I was like, oh, I'm alive for Mother's Day. Because you don't know, people are leaving here left and right. But I'm alive to see, to be, first of all, I just want to praise the Lord for Epiphany. I don't like to, for Epiphany Fellowship to accept an old woman like myself, still be used, still feel valued. I just praise the Lord for how he uses you all to bless others, to bless one another. You're the real thing, and I just want to say Jesus in every season is enough.
Amen. God has been teaching me to parent by faith, not by fear. Because you can even do good works out of fear, right? So sometimes you praying over them, you're quoting scriptures, but it's full of fear. Right, so he's been teaching me to transform that into faith. Expectation of the Holy Spirit to come upon my children, okay? Joel 2:28, I will pour out my spirit on your sons and daughters, and they will prophesy, okay? Remember the Holy Spirit. And then in John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. So in this season, while I have my children in my care, my job is not to constantly remind them. That's the Holy Spirit's job. My job is to teach them what Jesus said. Put the money in the bank. Put the seeds in the ground. And in due season, the Holy Spirit will remind. When they're away from my sight, he will remind. When I'm not watching, the seeds will sprout up and grow, and they will bear fruit. Remember God. It's not all on you. It's not all on you. He is present, and he will be there even when you're not.
And just piggybacking on what Fran just said, the Lord showed me through a friend of mine that I can trust him to teach my children, even when I'm not able to. Because his word says in Isaiah 54:13, then all your children will be taught by the Lord. Their prosperity will be great. And so I've been able to experience God's grace in showing me that the different seasons where I wasn't able, because my health journey just kind of lets you know, based on where my kids are in age, the different seasons that I've had medical challenges. So I have one son that's about to be 22. I have another son that's 15. I have a 10-year-old son and he's nine and she's eight. Okay, they're about to have birthdays. But anyway, I just remember in different times where I wasn't able to be around my oldest specifically, and I doubted whether or not I was being valuable in his life. And God showed me, he's now in college, and I've been reaping the fruit of what I was able to deposit in him by showing up, by praying when I wasn't able to physically do things. And then, because God's word says that all our children will be taught by the Lord, and because we as believers live in community, he reminded me of various people who had been that presence of him in their life when I wasn't able to physically be around, whether it was somebody within the body, whether it was an episode of Superbook, because if I needed to rest, I put on something that was going to deposit in them and allow them to see God in their everyday life. And so just know, moms, that we don't give them everything. Like, the body is there. There's different parts of the body, and they all have different functions. And so you don't have to be all the things. God is going to teach your children.
I love that. I love that reminder, particularly about the role that all of us play in raising children here, right? So again, whether you have natural children or not, we all should be invested in the lives of the children that are around us. I want the kids of Epiphany to remember their aunties and uncles and how when there were things maybe they didn't want to go to their parents. So, you know, it's always better to go to someone else. That's one of the beautiful things about being like the village auntie is that, you know, kids will talk to you in ways that they may not be able to articulate to their parents. And so it's important that all of us fill ourselves up with the word of God so that any child in this church should be able to come to us and find that safety, to find wisdom, to find counsel, that we should be cheering them on just as their parents would. And so I just want to encourage those of us who don't have children to understand that you have a role in the rearing of godly children as they continue on. And one of the things I just love so much of just how, I mean, these women are teaching us right now. I hope y'all know, like, they are breaking down scripture for us in ways that are really important, which means that you all know the word of God, right? That you have had to know the word of God to know how to employ it for your families. But I'm sure that's a challenge as a mom. When you got little ones vying for your attention and all the activities of life and parenting and being a wife and all that. So how do you make time for spiritual formation? Why do you make time for it? Why is it so important for you? And if you could even just give some practical advice, particularly to moms, of how you make time for and prioritize spiritual formation in the midst of everything going on.
I've realized that my spiritual upbringing has come through listening to podcasts sometimes, and sometimes it's come through what I've presented to my children. So I've referenced Superbook. For those who are members of Epiphany, Right Now Media, you have access, but also YouTube has Superbook. And Netflix, Superbook, and there are many other solid biblical resources out there that are for children. And in the midst of me presenting it to them, I'm sitting there listening too, and then the Lord will use it to minister to me. And so sometimes, especially when they were younger, and especially when I had the last two, because they were real close in age, and so there were times where I was too tired to pick up my Bible and read, but I could listen and the Holy Spirit would use those times to minister to me.
Same. God has used kids programming and kids books, to speak to my heart as I'm trying to teach them the things of the Lord. I can't even imagine. Like, there's so many times Eliana would be like, "Mommy, I love Jesus. He's with me everywhere I go, out of the clear blue sky." But I'm like, I needed that reminder. And that came from the book that we just read. So I am grateful for all. There's so many resources, y'all. There's so many resources out there for little children, because that's all I got right now. But also, I have also had to fight for my own time in the Word. When we try to read the Bible around them, they rip our Bibles. I have pictures of like pages torn out and all the things, right? All that. So I have learned to listen to God's word through audiobook, audio Bible, and sometimes even like while they're falling asleep, they like to listen to me read the Bible out loud. So I have tried that, but I've had to be really, really creative in these little years. But all in all, I see that to the second part of your question, why is it important? I don't have the patience that I need to deal with a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old in love if I don't tap into the God who has all patience and all wisdom. I can't make the decisions that I need to make and try to figure out what does discipline look like for this age and this stage if I'm not connected to the God of all wisdom. And so it's like I can see the difference in myself when I'm not fighting for that time. So it's like, even I always say, even more important than brushing your teeth, I mean, brush your teeth, y'all, but even more important than that is filling yourself with the truth of God's word, because you become what you behold. So behold him.
That's good. Any other one, any other tips?
That was great. Thank you, Pascal. In addition to time in the word, which is absolutely critical, a quick piece of practical advice. I went through a dry spell maybe a couple years ago. We all go through them. And one of the things I did to kind of help myself get back into sitting and reading for long periods of time, I made myself a cup of tea, and I made it like my special time with the Lord. And I have never stopped doing that since then. It's always like this special time with my cup of tea and the Bible and my journal. It's wonderful. But in addition to the word is cultivating relationships with women or men, if you're a guy, in different seasons of their life. That has been so critical to my growth and maturity as a believer, because one of the things God uses to grow us is community. We need each other, and we need not just everyone in the same season. We need people in seasons ahead of us to encourage us, and people in seasons behind us so we can pour into their lives. So,
I love that. And just thinking about that, right, if we have this, you know, sort of village approach to not just raising our children, but also our own spiritual formation, I want us to think about the variants of mothers in our midst, right? So that there are mothers who are not married, there are mothers who are co-parenting because of divorce or because of the loss of a spouse, something like that. And so as women of God, as people of God, how would you encourage women who are just like, look, okay, Mother's Day, that's all really cute, but I'm just trying to make it through the week because I don't have support and I don't have help. How can we as a body better love on women who are raising children without the help of a spouse?
There was a season of my life when I was single, and there was a sister who was a single mom, and she took a chance and reached out and asked me if I had the time, if I would be willing to help her out, and I would pick up her daughter from school, and I would take her to her piano lesson. I'd take her to get a snack or whatever and take her home. And I just, you know, when we were looking at the questions, the Lord just reminded me of that. And just me being willing during that time to make a sacrifice to love and support my sister by God's grace, that young lady that I would pick up is a believer. She's married. She has kids. And so you just never know the impact of you making a sacrifice. And so my challenge to the young single women, like, don't just sit around waiting for a man. Trust the Lord to provide what you need in the various seasons. But as you're waiting for whatever it is that he's going to give you, serve. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And so in every season of life, God has something that he may want you to do. Whether he may want you to help out a young mom who doesn't have a village around her. I know there's some people in our church who aren't from the area, and they may not have family in the area. And so just seek the Lord and ask him, how can you be a blessing? Because you never know the eternal and kingdom impact that you may have.
When I think of others, I tend to ask folks to just think about the times when someone helped you, a husband, a mother, with something around the house, helped you do something that you couldn't do on your own, or if your spouse helped you with the children, took them off your hands, somebody came and took them off your hands. Then think about a person who did not have that help, who watches the children 24/7 with nobody to ever help them. And I just encourage myself and you all as well to sit with God about what comes to your mind under his word, you know, just speaking about it, talking about it to him, and see how he ministers to you. He may just say, I'm going to single out a person for you to pray for because I'm going to let you be touched with her infirmities a little bit. I'm going to let you understand what that person is going through. And then you may intercede for that person. Or he may give you some type of vision in trying to help them. But do what the Lord is leading you to do. But it's the thinking of others more highly than we think of ourselves.
I also think that we use like terms like bro and sis in the church so lightly. Like, if we were to really consider women who are single and don't have as much help as someone who is married as our sister, like, you're not gonna let your sister struggle with her kids. Like, you're gonna do whatever you can do, rearrange your schedule to bear her burdens, to care about what she cares about. So I think, myself included, like, we just have to get better at thinking of ourselves as the family of God. And I think that will fuel, like, how we view each other and how we interact with each other and how we care for each other.
I'll offer this. Because I love coming alongside all kinds of moms, no matter what the circumstances. It's one of my passions. But it's really helpful to offer what you have the capacity for. Because when you say generalized terms like, let me know how I can support you, let me know if you need anything, that's so broad and vague. They don't know if you're saying, let me pay for a dance class, you know what I'm saying? Or if you're saying, I'll come scrub your bathroom. Like, they don't know what it is that you really are willing to do. So just use your imagination or offer three things. I might say something like, hey, I can come sit with the kids for 2 hours on Tuesday, or I can come clean your bathroom, or I can take the kids out to the jumping zone, you know, like, pick one, right? So try to offer concrete ways to offer support instead of a general, like, let me know if you need anything, because people sometimes don't feel comfortable asking for help, especially if you're not a blood relative, and you also know what you actually feel comfortable doing, but they might not take the courageous step to ask for what you're even willing to offer. So offer those big things. If you want to pay for golf lessons, like, offer.
Yeah, no, I think that's really good to think of it in very practical terms and thinking about the season of life that you're in and what you can offer. Like, I love the chaos of kids, right? You know, because I don't live in it all the time, right? So it's fun. So I want us to not think of it as, right, it's true. That's why aunties are fun. I'm always telling Pascal, I'm like, bring the, I love chaos. You know, like, bring it. because you're not living it all the time. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's something that I think we should turn our eyes from thinking of this is something that you're feeling drudgery to do as opposed to something that's filling. If you want a meal, go to somebody's house who's already cooking. You're not going to come to my house for a kid for a meal. Your child might be eating hummus that night for dinner because that's what some when you're seeing a girl plate. But, like, always say this about, you know, folks with kids. Y'all always got to put a meal on the table. So what's extra of just having an extra meal to give someone? It really won't cost you anything. I think about my own mom. And I didn't even think of these terms until I got older, but there's a girl who is an age between my sister and I who was like a sister to me. And it's because her mom was a single mom who was a nurse who worked nights. And my mother would say, just send Lenique down with my girls. Like, they all play together anyway. And she would feed her, and we would play. And to this day, we think we're sisters. And so it added to my experience. And so I want us to not think of, you know, helping others as a deficit. The beautiful thing in Christ is that it restores us and brings joy and fun to us, which I think is really beautiful as well. I also want us to start, I have a question as well for particularly moms and marriage and how you balance your responsibilities as a mom with your responsibilities as a parent. How do they conflict? How do you navigate it? Where do you get wisdom from scripture on your responsibilities and duties as a mom as well as a parent?
I think Christ modeled that for us because my responsibility to God comes first, then my husband, then my kids. And Christ modeled what it looks like to have your priorities in the right order. He prioritized his relationship with God the Father over pleasing others. He left people who needed to be healed to spend time with God the Father. When Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus was sick, Jesus waited. And he knew that this was for the glory of God, and he kept that in mind. Even when he wept with Mary, he still, before when he was praying, said, God, you know, this is for your glory, that they might believe. So as a wife and a mother, I keep that in mind. There are days when those two things are in conflict, but my responsibility is to mirror the relationship of Christ and the church for my children with my husband. So I do that first before pleasing them. So sometimes they're upset. They can't, you know, watch a movie or have a play date or even go to Bible study because my husband and I need a date night. And we're going to do that first. But ultimately, God will get the glory.
Yes. I think this topic can be uniquely challenging for some people who come from, let's say, a single parent background where mom had multiple different men and you were sidelined because she chose men over you on the regular, right? So there's a thorn in that spot. So even when you become a married woman, your mindset is like kids first because you weren't prioritized. You didn't feel like you got what you needed, right? However, you're not her, and you're moving forward in Christ. So I remember kind of walking through that myself in the scriptures. Dr. Mason talked to us about observing the text. So I'm going to make an observation.
Equip you.
In Titus chapter 2, where it talks about older women teaching the younger women, it lists something in a particular order, and I want you to listen for it. It says, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. In what order? Love their husbands and love their children. It's not an accident that the text lays it out that way. So that lets me know that there is a priority there, and I have to pay attention to it. So I pray that those who may have difficulty prioritizing their husbands to really sit with God and ask for healing in that place, right? To rewrite the narrative in your mind of what it means to prioritize, not idolize, not worship, right? Because you have to take care of your children. But how can we do this in a way that's godly and honorable to both of the people that we're committed to? Because in the other context, the men are expendable because we don't know if they're going to be around, right? So I got to take care of my kids because my kids going to hold me down when I get old. But when you're married and you plan to be together, you got to preserve that marriage. Okay, because one day, God willing, the people will go out on their own. Amen? And me and my boo up there in the balcony, we're going to spend some time. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm sorry. It's just... Before we sort of wrap up, I want to make sure that we address something really important, which is I know here in this room and listening to us, that there are mothers whose children have walked away from the Lord, mothers who fear that their children have been lost to the enemy, mothers who did all the beautiful godly things that you all are talking about, who, you know, prayed over their children and dedicated them to the Lord and brought them to church, but because we all have our own will, right? Children are walking away from the Lord. So if any of you can just provide just some encouragement, some hope, some guidance for that mother whose child is walking away from the Lord.
I would encourage the mother to pray, to keep praying. Pray without ceasing. But just to also be mindful, remember how God loves your child more than you ever could. He sees everything. Nothing takes him by surprise. And I would also encourage that mom to just lean into God, ask God for wisdom, guidance on how to be the mom you need to be for that season.
Amen.
Oh, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Continue to trust in the Lord. During the time of waiting for some of my children to come around, the Lord had to become bigger than their situation. He had to be high and lifted up. He had to be mighty. In fact, he had to have all power. and that's not funny, but he had to have all power in his hand, which he already does, so that it would minimize my worry and concern and anxiousness over, the wrong paths that they might be taking. So as God is exalted in my life and in your life, you will see him as an able person to, like the song said, leave the 99 and go after that one. The woman sweeps her house clean until she finds the coin. These type of parables and stories in the scripture tell you that he came to seek and to save those who are lost. We having a good time here, but it's a whole lot of lost people out there. And some of them are members of our family. So don't give up. I leave with you Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 is the last verse. Oh, it says, where was I? It's all on one page. Here you go. Take your time, old lady. So don't throw away your confidence. Don't throw it away, which has a great reward. Yeah. Keep on believing. You need endurance so that after you have done God's will, you may receive what is promised. But yet a little while, I say, now I'm going to King James. For yet in a very little while, the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he draws back, I have no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved.
Amen. I'm encouraging the parent who might be enduring some Christian suffering because they've chosen to hold a biblical standard despite their children's rebellion, to hold the line. Hold the line. You may cry. You may miss out on some holiday dinners, but hold the line. Do not waver. Be steadfast on the scriptures and God's expectation of you to represent him. Okay? And I also want to highlight the story of the priest Eli. And he had two sons who were running amok in the temple, and the scripture says they were wicked. This is from 1 Samuel chapter 2. His sons were wilding out, okay? But God sent Samuel, who was not his blood-born son, to train up under him and become one of the best priests Israel had. And you may not even know that there is a Samuel who needs your tutelage and instruction. There's another person who may not share your bloodline, but they have an ear to hear. And they need your wisdom, they need your pour, they need your input. So open your eyes, get out of that grief, right? God's gonna take care of that child, but look around you to see who you can pour into. Just because your child may have walked away doesn't mean that your voice should be muzzled. Keep teaching. Whoever has an ear to hear, let them hear, and do not give up.
Love that. Thank you. Thank you all for sharing that. It's a reminder of what spiritual mothering is, that that we are called as God's people not just to be fruitful and multiply in terms of biological sense, but spirit. That is also a spiritual command and a mandate. And so we should all, no matter what stage of life we're in, whether we have children, whether we don't, think about how we are making disciples, how we are mothering and fathering other people into our faith and into our generation. So I want to thank all these women, but what I want us to end on, because one of the joys I love is watching you all in your roles as mothers. It is a blessing, I think, to the entire body to see God's love and character and action through your roles as mothers. And that always makes me smile, particularly when you're like serving. I love when Pascal is like a camera in one hand and then like a child on each lap, which is like the mothering and the spiritual giving at the same time, which is so beautiful. But what is your greatest joy as a mother? What brings a smile to your face when you think about this high calling that God has given you to mother? So as we end, I just want to hear what brings you the most joy, or what's bringing you joy right now as a mother? And we can just start from whoever.
I just can't believe I get to be on a Mother's Day panel. Like, Mother's Day has brought me like so much grief in the past, and because I was a mother, but my children were not living. So when I think about what brings me joy when it comes to motherhood is, like, I'm just so glad that they exist. I'm so glad that they're here. Whenever I look at their faces, I just see God's goodness, his faithfulness, his care for me. I love that they're here.
For me, the fact that God would allow mothers to get to have a wonderful role to nurture, instruct, teach children at a very young age, that's a beautiful thing. And when you think about it, as mothers, you are your first, you are your child's first point of contact in hearing the gospel. And you get to create and set the environment for them for you to display the love of Christ. And I see that in 2 Timothy 1:5, where when Paul is writing to Timothy, he's recalling Timothy's mom and grandmom, Eunice and Lois, commending them for the faith. These are godly women, teachers, followers of Christ. So Timothy learned under their teaching. Yeah. So that's incredible to me. But for me, like, some of the personal things that bring me joy is to seeing my kids come to Christ, to seeing our two oldest get baptized. Some other fun things is the fact that seeing our youngest, Micah, who's 10, just ask all these crazy analytical questions anytime we go through a study with him or teach about the Bible. Like, he's bombarding us with questions before we get to the second question. Other things that bring me joy when I'm hearing our middle schooler just blast her music, Christian music, through a room, singing along to some of her favorite Christian rap artists, reading her tween devotional on her own, unprompted. And also for our oldest, when he practices wisdom at times, navigating through the teen years. So those things for me bring me joy.
Definitely watching our oldest get baptized was a highlight for me. It is truly the greatest joy to see your children learning the gospel. Some other things that bring me joy are watching my kids explore different things that I've introduced them to. I love getting out and about with them. And currently my 3-year-old sits in the car behind me, and I'm always playing music, Christian music, in the car. And she's always a little behind because she waits for the lyric to start singing. And it just makes me so happy to hear her singing. So.
A verse of scripture I have is, I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in truth. It's good to be around young people. You young people know I love to hang out with you. I love to listen to those conversations that just, okay, Nico, I see. I love to hear those men talk about the scriptures. I'm be in the other room, but I'm like going this way. I love to see my son jumping all up on the stage. I love to hear my niece respond back to me. She's here today, that's why I'm calling her out. I throw out scripture and ask them to think about it, and I got such beautiful responses from her. And then my other kids, when they get it, I am elated. So that's what gives me joy, to hear that my children are walking in truth.
Absolutely. One of my greatest joys is to see my children loving on each other and on others. When someone gets a boo-boo and they come and lay hands on that boo-boo and pray for it, mama taught them that. You know, like to see them comforting each other when they're hurting or when they're upset, that compassion is tangible, and I know it's something that will outlast my household, and I always want them to be tight, but the fighting and the bickering, y'all, it can be so discouraging, and you wonder, like, do y'all even love each other?
Right.
Is everything okay? But then, every now and then, the Holy Spirit will just drop on in, and you see the arm around, and they're snuggled up with each other. It's such a beautiful thing, and that gives me so much joy. So I want to continue to see them take the word of God out of our home. We've got a young evangelist in the house who conducts research at school about who's believers and who's not believers. And I get notes from teachers every single year about my children, and they're preaching at school. But guess what? That means that the seeds are taking root.
Amen.
And the fruit is starting to crop up, so that brings me so much joy.
Just like Pascal, I lost a child, and so there was a moment where I didn't know if I was going to have kids, because the doctors told me, based on my health journey, that I wouldn't be able to. So to have four children, living children, that know Jesus, and to see the light come on as we are teaching them the truth of God's word, those are definitely joys. And to be able to experience them in healthy seasons, to be able to be with them and walk around with them, to sit and watch a show with them in good health, those are things that I love about being a mom.
Amen. Let's give it up for this incredible panel of these godly moms. Happy Mother's Day.
Hello, this is Dr. Eric Mason, founder and pastor of Epiphany Fellowship. Thank you for tuning in today. Hopefully the word of God was a blessing to you. Also, if you want to help us build the kingdom from Philly and beyond, particularly in inner cities, partner with us today. And if you don't know Jesus as Savior, based on his death, burial, and resurrection, place your confidence in him and go from spiritual death to spiritual life. Tune in next time so we can see you go from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. God bless you. Take care. We love you.